Welcome to the Daytime Confidential podcast, brought to you by DaytimeConfidential.com. On today's show, Sheila and Steffi face off on B&B, Rafe snoops around Eli's attack on Days, what the hell is Harmony up to on GH, and Jordi Villasuso is out at YNR. All this and much more on today's show, so stay tuned. Mike Jubinville, welcome.
Hello.
Jillian Bowe, welcome.
Hey.
And Joshua Baldwin, welcome, Joshua. Earlier this week, maybe it was last night, Friday night, we got a text because, of course, text conversations are always great fodder for the podcast.
See, and this is why I keep quiet in them, ladies and gentlemen. It's see,
Josh was very happy with The Bold and the Beautiful this week. Is Sheila reminding everybody why she's Sheila the damn Carter?
Sheila got to Sheila in on Thursday and Friday because Steffi couldn't keep her damn mouth shut. Steffi could have walked out that alley. Everybody would have been okay. But no, she had to push and push and push, and Sheila had to remind her who Sheila was. Except then Sheila killed her damn son.
Child, let me tell you something. Sheila Carter is back, honey.
Yes, she
when
is.
She hemmed Steffi up by them dumpsters and let her know, you keep playing with me, you will end up in these suckers. I was like, woo! Thursday and Friday's episode was good. Let's just be real. We know Liberty Bibbity Man was gonna bite it because he's been on for months now.
He's been getting more airtime in the Liberty Bibbity commercials than he has on B&B.
Brad is not invested in him. He's not. We knew he was gonna bite it, you know. So this wasn't a shocker to me. Like, it was like the way I went down, I was like, oh shit. But it was still a cliffhanger, but it's not surprising that he's out. You get what I'm saying?
Not at all.
So it's not surprising because Brad was not invested in him. For months, he was gone off the canvas, which should have been some good shit. Like, I mean, some of the things were plot driven. Like, Steffi, you told your husband what Sheila did. You didn't tell, she didn't say anything and he didn't say anything. Like, I know you want to keep her confidence, but you should have at least, you know, dropped some breadcrumbs. Did you see, you call her parents. Did you see Steffi? Oh my God. You know, and they'd be like, what? It's Sheila. She, you know, I don't want to say, but you know, she told me some things about Sheila and I'm worried. Something, but whatever.
Steffi and Thomas are also directly responsible for Finn's death for not shouting it to the rooftops like you're saying. Thomas has been sitting on this for a month.
I want when this all come out for, I'm sorry, you know, some people are not going to like it, but
say it.
Brooke is the victim in this.
Yes.
Brooke is the victim. These two, you know, when Steffi had
Smitty.
The audacity to sit there, well, not sit there, get hemmed up by them dumpsters and say to Sheila, you know, you are scheming and you did all this. Girl, you and Thomas, I'm like, did you hear yourself? You and Thomas also schemed to get Brooke out of your father's life and his marriage. You're no innocence in this also.
No.
So this needs to come out that y'all were kind of inadvertently responsible for this, Thomas more so, and it has to be Ridge. Like, they're not like Brooke can light that fire, but Ridge needs to just like torch them, burn it to the ground.
Yeah, it's true.
And let them know if y'all had opened y'all mouth, none of this would have happened. You, Thomas, you need to grow up. You're a grown-ass man with a child, and you are, like, they need to go there. And Brad needs to stop dancing on the line or go there. Thomas is not a good guy. Mm-mm. Thomas is not a good guy. He's a creepy scheming prick. Like, go there. You can have that. They all have them in the family, I promise you. Mm-hmm. On GH, we had AJ Quartermain. On Days, you got a truckload of them. You got busloads of them.
The
you
only
got Adam the, on the Young and the Restless.
We it's just like, don't want him to go Michael Cambius.
No, well, okay, girl, let that go. But
well, no, but I'm just saying there's a point where you can take that character up to, but just don't put him into the Michael Cambius.
No, I'm not saying for them to. No, Michael Cambius was a big old rapist. I don't want him doing that. No, but you have bad boy characters on there, a part of affluent families that sometimes they see the light of day and they play good for like 12 minutes. Adam Newman, and then after the 12th minute is hit, when it's, you know, 12 minutes and 59 seconds, they're like, fuck this shit. Like, he can go there. They're trying to make him this good guy. It's like, stop.
Mike? Stop.
But it was, it was so
the
good.
Difference, I was thinking that the difference between Thomas and Steffi is so starkly different. They had the same vision for their parents, yet when push comes to shove, Thomas was being all mealy about not telling his parents and then trying to keep Sheila away. And then Steffi just heard it and faced it head on and said, I'm telling everybody what you did. And I just think that like that was the difference right there between how each one handles certain situations. I thought B&B was really good this week.
It goes back to what I was saying. Like,
yeah,
Thomas is not, Brad tries to make it. He's this misunderstood, you know, he does little bad things for the grit. Thomas is not good. Thomas is a scheming bitch, okay?
And even like Taylor put that out into the heavens. She said something to Ridge about Thomas being a good guy. It's like, no, girl. He is not guy.
She ain't gonna really say, let's just be real. She ain't gonna say, my son is a creepy little shit. She's not gonna say that. None of them are gonna say that.
Well, that's
like,
true.
Like,
no.
Let's just be real. Like, she
but this
knows.
Is also a world where Taylor is not being held to being an alcoholic or shooting Bill or anything, so we're also sort of over, we're skipping over details.
There's a lot of secrets floating around on B&B that have yet to be revealed, but it's so, just this it's I enjoyed this week. I did, and you know, the fact that they've wasted Ted King and the mother, what that's is it
Naomi Matsuda?
Yeah sorry. So basically Finn was doomed from the beginning. They hyped up this couple on social media before they even met to try to get, you know, manufactured. It was all manufactured drama. It wasn't organic. And I feel bad for Steffi because she just, we all know where this is going, right? I mean,
yeah, we do.
With Finn out of the way.
Tell it, Miguel. Tell us.
The old triangle's probably going to come back. And
I'm not loving it.
Liam's got to go help Steffi because he just can't help himself. And it's just going to be, here we go again.
Of course, here comes creepy Thomas.
Yep.
You know, and I hope they better not make Hope stupid. Because Hope, they better not. Because they've actually had me like Hope. Look, I used to give Anika Noel, Annika Noel, Annika Skywalker. Sorry, I just had to, girl. I just had to.
Said that for a while.
Yeah, I just had to. But they've made, you know, wasn't really feeling it in this because they dumbed the character Hope down. I feel as though when they do that to the characters, when there's a new actor in there, it's bad for the actor because it's almost as if you're saying, well, you don't have the balls to handle it. She actually proved that she can do it. And when they had Hope read Ridge down and call his kids out, I liked it. They need to keep that energy because we know where this is going. When Thomas tries to sniff around her, she needs to shut it on down and be like, no, I'm not in love with you, Thomas. We're not starting that thing again. Don't think I don't know what you and your fuck ass sister did to my mama, bitch. Like, how creepy.
Oh, that's one other thing. Steffi didn't realize it because she's traumatized, but Sheila did kind of say that it was Brooke that she went after because Brooke
that's not,
was
she's
the
not
one.
Traumatized. What are you talking about?
No, Steffi is.
No,
I'm just
she's
saying,
not. When she, no. Now, because her mother-in-law put a hole in her man's chest.
Right.
Yes, she's not traumatized. Steffi realized, Steffi said it when she said, I did this all for you. Steffi clapped back and said, so when Brooke put her foot down, and rightly so, that you should not be around Hayes. This is what, she's not traumatized at all. Steffi
no, I
knows.
Meant she might forget that detail in the next, you know, coming period of time because
then
something worse
happened.
Why would
you say happened. Traumatized? What's that? What
well,
you trying
I just
to
meant
to?
In her trauma, she may forget.
What
that,
trauma?
In the trauma of watching Finn be shot.
Okay, so why y'all keep saying that? Y'all beating around the bush. Why y'all keep saying trauma? Y'all know something?
No. I think Michael's talking about the trauma of watching Finn die. I think that's what he's talking about.
Because I'm like, you keep saying trauma like you know something, sis.
No.
Because it's very simple, girl.
Steffi heard that detail. She realized that Brooke was actually protecting her when she's been trashing Brooke this whole time. But now something even more dire has happened, and that's something that she may forget. But I think she'll come back around to it. That's all it was.
But why do you think she'll forget it?
Because right now her mind is focused on her.
You don't think she can multitask?
It's not a matter of whether or not Steffi can multitask. It's whether or not Brad can multitask a storyline.
This is not, you know, Grill Miguel Day. It's just the way you're phrasing things is almost as if you know something.
Oh, I don't think he knows anything.
He doesn't know anything.
I didn't mean it like that.
No. Let's talk a little.
That was kind of a meow mix.
I didn't mean it like
that. You don't know nothing, girl. I'm like, damn.
I thought I was going to be the target of Josh's ire today, but apparently it's Mike.
I just like where this conversation was going, because it's almost as if you feel as though more chaos is coming where Brooke is still fucked over because of those stanky kids, those flowers.
It sort of makes you wonder why they didn't use all of this drama for their anniversary as opposed to Brooke's lovers. But that's maybe a different discussion.
I mean, because that's the first lady of B&B now. People hate it, but she, you know, someone online was like, it should have been about Susan Flannery. I'm like, how long she been gone?
I love Susan Flannery. I love myself a big old diva. But Susan's been gone long enough that, yes, Kelly Lang is the
first lady.
Yes.
John McCook is the first man. She is the first lady. I'm sorry.
Well, Rafe Hernandez can never be called the first man in Days of Our Lives. But he's been investigating Eli's attack. He's been doing some snooping. I wish that I cared about his investigation. I wish that I cared about him and Nicole. I don't really, but I feel like...
You didn't enjoy the bubble bath scenes with champagne and romance?
No, girl.
But I feel like maybe it takes Rafe to lay the groundwork for what will hopefully be explosive revelations if or when Eli wakes up. Jillian, what did you think of Rafe this last week before we talk about your Leo? Okay. Nope.
I don't, Luke. Back to you.
The only thing I say is that Rafe took Sean Douglas's job, and Sean Douglas should be doing that job. And now Sean's gone.
Sean Douglas got other problems.
To me, that should have all been Sean, not Rafe.
Sean's got Bell Devil to worry about at the moment.
Sean Douglas got Dan Spears coming back.
I'm like, bro, Sean has a lot going on right now. He's like, sorry, Eli, you know, I'm a light one for the homie. You know, maybe they'll put some icy hot on your wound and you'll wake up to or something, but I got to go. What we should talk about is Leo, and we should talk about TR sniffing around Paulina.
Now, that's so good.
Okay, we'll talk about the positives. TR is my negative, but go ahead.
Josh, what did you think?
Which direction to go?
Pick one.
Are you not going to bitch you with him because he dragged you earlier? No, I'm not having it.
I don't know which direction to go, but Leo, I'll go with, I'll start with Leo. Leo Stark is bucking for smartest character in the soap. Sitting there, sending that text message to Craig while Chad's out there getting all undressed and making Chad show that ass before he got in bed. Loved it.
He is ahead of the game, baby. I loved it.
I loved the look that Leo was giving Craig while he's sitting there naked in bed that said, I already had this covered. I got this taken care of. Chad, you're in trouble.
When he talked about having a threesome, and Craig's confused, but he's also like, okay, when in Rome, looks like, okay. And, you know, and Chad's like, I don't want to have a sex with you. Why not? You don't think my man fine? I thought that was
and
hilarious.
Being so condescending, calling him Chadwick, I loved that.
Oh, I love when he calls him Chadwick. I'm like, oh,
loved
pulling out for Joe Mascolo. I'm like, I wish Stefano was around because Stefano was good on calling you by your government name.
Oh, yeah. And then the next day, him showing up in Brady and Chloe's bedroom and basically giving it to them, but also saying, reminding them, I love Craig and I believe Leo. I believe Leo loves Craig. And I just thought that was good. And it's making Brady and Chloe and Chad and Abigail look like the assholes that they are. And it's like, y'all got your own, clean up your own dirty kitchens before you mess around in somebody else's.
I did like that he popped in and after Brady and Chloe were in bed and he's just like, they're like, it's none of your business. He's like, oh, really? So just Craig is none of your business either. Exactly. So,
yes.
You know, that was kind of cool. But I also liked him needling. They're like, oh, no, he asked me to marry him. And you can call me daddy whenever you're ready.
Oh,
that was awesome. And I also thought, Nancy blackmailing. Yes. I said, see, yeah. Craig got two bitches in his life. I mean, well, two and a half. I mean, Chloe, never. She's warm with this. I'm like, I put Chloe on the island of crying Nicole because I'm just like, oh, girl, get whatever.
See, my thought was, how can Marlena, with doctor's ethics, knowingly allow Nancy to blackmail Craig?
Because
she doesn't have a job.
But okay, so let's pause for a second on that. Because when they were talking about it, how many therapists have private practices outside of a hospital? It's not like Marlena, after being fired as the hospital therapist, couldn't have her own private practice that Nancy could go see her in. I don't get the concept of because really she's fired by the hospital, her entire therapist career is over.
Because like, think about it. If you're in a hospital, you already have a built-in practice. Whereas if you strike it out on your own, that's it. You know what
right,
I'm saying?
But, like, but what I'm saying is there would be clients Nancy who would easily go to her house.
Only Nancy. Whereas someone off the street, if they have to see a shrink, they can go to Marlena. And
she's got Nancy and she's got Ben.
That's only two people, Luke. You just answered your own question. You're just trying to be contrary.
No, it's not that I'm trying to be contrary. Yeah. It just seems that it seems weird to me that a doctor who's it's like Marlena's ethics as a therapist are like Kayla's as HIPAA. Because, I mean, if she knows that someone is actively blackmailing to be able to keep her in her job, that's not ethical.
Well,
Luke,
Marlena,
you're thinking beyond what actually aired. What aired was Nancy threatening Craig and then Marlena reacting to it, and they never went back to it. So am I pulling a mic
and predicting the future?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
no,
okay. And the thing is, if you were going to go set up your own shingle somewhere, you are always going to be the lady who is possessed by the devil.
Thank you.
They fired her because people went back to the hospital. They went back. They regressed into this place that Marlena took them from. And then, you know, the devil pushed them back. So she's never going to be able to go out
speaking
and get
of regression,
her own practice.
Speaking yes, of regression, like, because I want to follow up with this, because last week, Mike, you didn't have an opportunity to talk about the Sarah storyline and what was going on there. This week, Tony is in the Kyriakos mansion, and Sarah is not happy about how he is still spending time with Anna. What did you think of how that played out?
Well, first of all, the superstar in all this for me is Leanne Hunley. I have just really grown to really – I've always liked Anna, but I like her even more. What I like is that about this particular story isn't really necessarily that Renee is alive as much as how it's dredging up all of these memories. Like, Anna and Tony are trying to be sympathetic. But Tony said, I was in love with her, and this is bringing up a lot of pain, and she treated Anna horribly. And so Anna's starting to feel like the jealousy, all that stuff that she felt 40 years ago is all coming back. And that to me is the bigger drama in all this. So that's the part that I like. Now, the fact that she's not locked away doesn't make sense to me, because she is kind of threatening people and she is causing harm in her way. So, you know, I get the law and all that stuff with that, Josh, before you start, Dr. Josh.
Oh.
But that part of it is what I like. So, and I like that her and Abigail talked about it. So,
Jillian, what did you think of TR this week?
The TR thing, y'all may not think it's important, but I do. I don't mean y'all as in the three bitches on him. I mean the public. I do not like the fact that they're trying to have TR and Paulina, like, what are you doing there? Like, she's letting her guard down. Lonnie is a lost cause because Lonnie could slap her mama for lying about who she is, but she could just be like, yeah, Kristen, girl, let's come on. Like, Kristen walks out of the jail and she shows more loyalty to people who she barely knows than someone who's her flesh. And I don't mean, well, she thought that was her aunt and now she's thrown by her mother. That's still, before she knew all of that, she was still blood. You barely know TR and you're leaning on him after they've been driving home the point that TR is an abuser. Lonnie is a cop. She's a stupid cop at this point, but they've been driving home the point that TR should not be trusted and is an abuser. You have Lonnie leaning on her, on him. You have Paulina letting her guard. Like, Paulina went through all this trouble to keep him away, and now y'all sitting around, kiki-ing around them wailing babies. Like, I don't know what y'all are doing with that. I don't think it's cool. I don't think it's cute. If it was a situation where y'all regret, because you know they write 12 years in advance, child, and they are like, fuck, like, we like the chemistry and we like what's bubbling, but we've already laid that blueprint for over a year or so that TR was abusive. I can understand that. And maybe this is a time for them to look into writing 12 years in advance. But I'm not feeling that y'all are trying to, like, I'm not saying they're romanticizing it, but it's almost as if you're trying to, like, gloss.
It's very fast.
They're telling the story of an abuser and his target and how easily that person can slip back into someone's life if the victim allows them to. And on one hand, it's a story that needs to be told because it does happen with victims, and the fallout is something that there is an opportunity to tell a socially relevant storyline. But I do sort of get what you're saying, Jillian, about the fact that it feels weird. The Lonnie thing. Lonnie will throw blood, husband, anybody under the bus for someone else. Like, how many times did she throw her husband under the bus for Kristen? I mean, Lonnie does not surprise me, but the story with Paulina, I feel sorry for Paulina, but I sort of understand her as a victim arc and trying to, like, live with him in her life because of what Lonnie wants him. It's really weird.
I think Paulina could be struggling with it more in a sense that she confides in Lonnie how she's struggling with it, but she still keeps that front against TR in public.
But all that stuff that you're saying, we don't have any of that. And I think where this story would work better is if we knew more about the romance that TR and Paulina had that led to the abuse. That it would be easier to sort of understand what's happening here. But because we didn't see any of that, all we know is that he's abusive. And so it's hard to watch.
Well,
he became
abusive after using drugs. And she thinks because he's clean that he's no longer abusive.
Right. But the one good thing I think that works here is the juxtaposition of Beth being on screen.
Absolutely.
Right. I love that. I love her, first of all. I love
There's some
actress.
Good... dangerous tension between the two of them, and I think that is a very interesting story.
But Jillian, I agree with you. I get uncomfortable when I'm watching the TR and Paulina scenes, particularly when they were with those babies. Luke
saying, well, it's what Lonnie wants. I'm gonna be honest, I don't give a shit what Lonnie wants. An abuse victim should not give a fuck about what Lonnie wants. Lonnie wasn't the one who got her ass whooped by TR. Lonnie wasn't the one who had to give up her child to protect said child from the abuser. So screw what Lonnie wants. Like,
and she's also throwing Abe away. She's not taking into consideration
this guy that she considered a father. Yes, she's a selfish. Lonnie is a selfish shrew, child. She's a selfish shrew. I'm just like, I don't know. Because I'm just like, as a woman here, I would not, like, I've never had that, thank God, or know anybody like that's been through that. And I'm just thinking and I'm processing and I'm like, you are really sitting around grinning and skinning up on you, the man who abused your mother's, who abused your mother. This man is the reason why you did not grow up with Paulina claiming you as a mother. This is why you thought she's your auntie mama. That's why she's your auntie mama. That's why. But you there, I like mayo on my fries. I'm like, shut up. Throw that mayo in her face. Just like, let me stop because, you know, y'all, whatever. But I'm just like, I'm annoyed by her. I'm annoyed that they're doing that. And Paulina has always been a shrewd badass. And they have her, like, Paulina's instincts have always been on point. I mean, granted, the way she goes about things, you're just like, ooh, girl, Price Town and this little podunk town, that was fucked up. But the way she's just like, no, I'm sorry. I don't like it. I do not like it. And especially, I guess, also when this started was when they were on hiatus because of the Winter Olympics. They made those videos, like, trying to promote the show, and they were all, they had Jack A, you know, I had this son of a bitch ex-boyfriend child, or whatever they said, trying to, like, make it funny and cute. I'm like, when is abuse cute? You know, people are still tripping about Will Smith slapping Chris Rock. And I'm like, it didn't even happen to some of these people, Amy Schumer, Wanda Sykes, fucking Cheryl Underwood, but y'all are throwing around trauma. I'm like, but, you know, that, but Paulina grinning in them promotions about this and Lonnie just being okay and Paulina sitting around playing the babies.
Right. Ow. And now that you've actually dissected it a bit, it really does kind of drive home how much Paulina was brought on as this wealthy powerhouse who took no prisoners and wanted to do all this stuff. And yeah, you're right. The what you're seeing doesn't kind of match up with what
You know, I know when you see some of these shows, that you see these bad bitches who are, you know, these bad people, you know, these powerful women. And when they get in front of their abusers, they're like, you know, they're scared. But, you know, the fact that you have Paulina sitting around, you know, playing with the grandbabies with the man who is the reason why she wasn't able to do this with Lonnie as a child, open and freely. It's just, I'm like, no, I don't
and
like
TR
it.
TR is actually sending out verbal cues. When he comes in and says, right forcefully in front of Abe, in his face, Lonnie gave me these grandbabies. These are mine. And it's like, that's just setting up a red flag because you don't even know Lonnie and you don't know Abe and you don't know the babies. So you can't claim them as yours. That possessive thing is something that should trigger somebody into like, wait a second, why is he saying it like that?
And Abe was a cop, for Christ's sakes. Abe met Faye Mendez, Brandon's mother, in that situation. So Abe should know the cues and the red flag. That's why I'm just like, this whole thing is just, ugh, in my opinion, I'm not feeling it. I'm sorry. I'm not.
One of the things that I really struggled with this last week in soaps was this story with Harmony on General Hospital. Because like, I thought we were on a redemption arc storyline with Harmony, with her daughter, her friendship with Alexis, her helping out with like Ryan Chamberlain, that this was a redemption arc. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, out of the blue comes, we find out that she's the one who offed Neil. All of a sudden, she's doing really spooky stuff at Alexis's office. There's creepy stuff with her at the house. And like, my neck spun so fast, I was like, I need a chiropractor, because it felt the trajectory of her being a character on a redemption arc was one that I understood. I expected her to go through the ringer from Sam and Alexis and the various other people to try and prove who she was. And then all of a sudden, she's a psycho again. And I'm like, what the fuck just happened?
Yeah, I agree.
Josh, what did you think?
Yeah, I agree with you. I've never really cared a lot about the character of Harmony, but I did like her with Alexis. And now she's being sacrificed at the altar of Weeping Willow. Because this is how we're going to do Retcon Hospital and make Willow Nina's daughter, which is somehow going to make, I don't know if that makes her twins with Nell or what. I don't know what's going on there.
I was going to say, is Nell even going to still be the daughter?
I don't know. But this is all to get Willow and Nina as mother and daughter. And it just, you know, I agree with you. We spent months watching them rehabilitate Harmony. And I just feel like, what? I don't know what
happened.
It's been
going on for at least a year. And I'm like,
maybe it's a plot to get Willow to be Jason's triplet.
Oh, Lord. Stop it now. Stop it.
Stop him.
All right.
Neil's brother also showed up looking for Alexis's help. And apparently he's had an investigation. So suddenly this character that none of us really remembered from the last time he was on now has dossiers on everybody, has been doing tons of research, and Harmony has gone psycho again. It just, like, I liked where Harmony and Alexis were going, the will they or won't they, like, mm-hmm. pull the lesbian story elements to it. Will they or won't they be able to get past what Harmony did to Sam and Christina? Like, there was so much depth and character that could have been explored over time, and the tug of war that could have been involved. And now it's just
really
like
out
they
of
threw
left
it away.
Field.
They threw it away.
They, okay, girl, you're such a drama queen, girl. It was out of left field, I will say that. When you found out, when she was like, when she got the carpet cleaner, and Alexis was like, bitch, how you know what a carpet cleaner is? Well, you know that, and Alexis, she's all trying to stem, and Alexis is like, no, girl. And I've been here before, and then you found out she killed Neil. It's like, why did you kill Neil? That's what I would like to know.
Right.
The creepy brother. He don't want no favor from Alexis. He's trying to bully her and shake her down. I'm like, do you not know that her daughter is, she has two daughters for two mafia kingpins? Like, are you high? I'm like, are you high too? Like your brother? Are you stupid? I'm like, you're trying to shake down one of poor, one baby mama from the poor Charles kingpin. Like, are you stupid or what? You have a file on Alexis, but you're doing that. That file on Harmony is very interesting too. Like, I just want to know why Harmony killed Neil and like, what is her objective? Like, why? Like, I thought for sure it was going to be Alexis's, you know, I thought they were going to find out, you know, again, I thought they were going to pull a Days. Alexis is a late in life lesbian. I'm like, you know, we thought she had to kill a tuntun and she killed Neil. And so she's like, I ain't messing with that no more. I'm gonna mess with women. But now we see that it wasn't that. And I'm just like, what? Like, I don't, it's very odd. Like, I'm going to go along with everything. I'm going to go along with it, sure, because I'm not going to lie. Now, I just want to preface this because, you know, they may think, oh, well, you do. No, I don't. I will say, once Peter got murked, didn't y'all notice? It's just kind of like the adrenaline and stuff, like the high octane shit that was going on. It's kind of like,
yeah, it drained.
It definitely plateaued.
They didn't have a new umbrella storyline ready.
Well, they do now, but with Trina, but it's starting to go. It's starting to get back up again because, you know, the Harmony thing, I don't know. I'm just going to go along for the ride. The Trina storyline has been juicy.
Come on, Tabiana Ali. Come on now.
Let me tell you something. And I'm like, everybody was wondering if she and Nicolas Chavez would have, you know, Nicolas Chavez and her would have the chemistry that he did with Sydney Michaela. They do. When he came in there trying to like low-key grill, and she told him, you know, the smugness on that child when she read him, though, when he was like, you know, she was like, Esme did all this for you. And he was like, well, maybe you did all this for me. You know, maybe I have that type of power on you. And that girl was like, what you just say? there and read him and was like, ever since you came into my life, it has gone to hell. And she drove that point home. And then you see the new Officer Cutie.
Oh, yeah.
Officer Cutie Patootie. What's his name, Luke? What's his name?
His name is Michael Blake Cruz. And he plays Rory.
Yes. Officer Rory. I was like, you so saw cute. That little chemistry there? Because at first, everybody was like, well, who's he going to be for? Everybody thought it was for Britt and whatever. But you see that little spark there when he... when Spencer was still getting in on Trina and he was like, you gotta go. When she was like, get out. And he's like, he was like, ah, you gotta go. I was like, ooh. And he gave her a little soda, as Jay Bernard said, he gave her a Coke and a smile. I'm like, for real, he did. I loved it. I'm like,
can we talk about how fast Ava snatched her purse up to go help her Trina?
Yes, she did.
And
yes,
when she did. Got and when she yes, got home and saw did. Esme at, on Cassadine Island, she was like,
well, we'll get back to that. Ava was, you know, Ava is all trying to play nice with the fucking mob boss and his stank mob wife to see her own child. She's playing nice with Carly and stuff. When Sunny comes over, oh, I thought y'all was talking about Trina. You see how Ava got in bitch mode? What you mean we talking about Trina? What we talking about Trina for? Oh, you didn't hear. Hear what? She's been arrested for the tape. She grabbed her purse and was like, I got to go. I was like, no, baby. I loved it. I loved it.
It is one of my favorite relationships in all of soaps, Ava and Trina.
And I want them to keep that so bad. I like the fact that they're not fucking that up. I love their friendship. I love their relationship. When she was like, we know you didn't do this. And she was like, it's Esme. It's Esme. And then when Laura, ugh, why are y'all dressing Jeannie Francis in those god-awful dusters? I hated that thing that she had on in that
book. No.
Oh, like that. The wardrobe person, he needs to go. Okay. Sorry, sweetie. What's your name now? I always called your name. What's his name? Sean Dudley Reeves. Yes. It came to me. You got to go. But I loved when Ava sashayed out there when Laura was like, how's Trina? Innocent. I said, yes. I loved it.
And when Ava walked back out and tried and got that reporter off of Jocelyn and Cam, and Jocelyn turns around and said, oh, this is not your fight. I wanted Ava just to bitch slap her.
And what I'm liking about what they're doing with Ava in this is that they're making her the good person by capitalizing on her viciousness. It's a nice twist for that character.
She's using her powers of evil for good.
Yeah. Right, right.
When she was backing up some, when she went to Sunny and she was like, when he was like, what are you doing here? She was like, you know, this wasn't Trina. I don't believe it. And Carly doesn't believe it. You know, if we agree, something ain't right. You know, right. And he was like, yeah, you know, it's Esme. So what you gonna do about it? Ava. Oh, Maura West reminded us why she's one of the baddest in the game. Mm-hmm. And Ava reminded us that she is still a mob boss herself. Yep. When she went to Sunny and was like, what you gonna do about it? It's handled. I'm like, Spencer, you know, I see a lot of people giving grief to Spencer online. Now, I ain't gonna lie, I did too.
I don't understand that. I don't think he accused her.
Here's the thing that I have with Spencer that I struggle with.
Oh, girl. What you struggle with, honey?
This Spencer is too dumb for the Spencer that we saw grow up.
No, stop. No. No, we're not going to go.
I just feel he gets taken in too easily for someone who was such a good manipulator. When he was portrayed as a child, he was the person who drove the manipulations and the stories. Whereas now, he's the one who reacts to it all.
You
want to
know why that is?
Why is that?
Want to know why that is? Because this one is a man that's getting cooch on the regular. I'm just going to have to be gross and graphic. He's Esme getting ass on the regular.
Wait, does that mean that no. Esme is the glittery hoo-hoo of 2022?
Enough is, because she has him stuck on stupid. Spencer is whipped.
She's even pulling Nick into that web.
Yeah, she's, okay.
Let's hope that doesn't happen.
Nick is defending and protective.
See, hold on. See, now, with Nicholas, You saw it when she was all happy. No, it cracked me up when she thought she was going to be at Castadine Island at first. And he was like, no, girl, you're going over to Kelly's. When she realized, oh, you're not putting me up just out of the goodness of your heart. You're keeping an eye on me. And he was like, shown off. Like, he let her know, bitch, I need to keep an eye on you because. And she was like, how could you? And he was like, you burnt my wife's car. It was Spencer. And he was, I love when Nicholas was like, you mean to tell me that you don't have a mind of your own? I was like, go ahead. Spencer, back to Spencer. There was a moment when Spencer was at Laura's place when he was sitting there rethinking things. He's been sitting there. It was replaying in his mind how Esme was acting the entire trip. I felt as though Spencer was putting the pieces together and realizing, yeah, that heifer could have done it. And she probably did do it because he goes back to even when he was at Spring Ridge, when he was asking her, did you do it? You never answered me. And she still didn't answer him and was like, you don't get what you want or whatever, Spencer. I felt as though Spencer was playing it in his head like, she did do this. And I feel as though the baby, this so-called baby, has him thrown through a loop. Like, he is just like, fuck, she's pregnant. She could be pregnant. Because he said it to Nicholas, I'm going to be tied to her forever. He does not want a kid. He does not want to be with Esme. I feel as though when she threw that pregnancy in his face, so to speak, that made him rethink things through. Like, he's thinking, she's the mother of my child. Like, she has my baby. Like, I have to do something about this. So I feel as though Spencer knows he's just playing, like, he's just allowing her to play along. Or not allowing, I should say. I feel like Spencer knows, but because Esme is up the ante, he just won't do anything. Or maybe, I don't know. I did get a vibe at one point. I thought maybe Spencer is playing her. Maybe he has us all, you know, we're not in on the joke yet, so to speak. But I'm like, what if Spencer is stringing her along, you know, because he and Trina had that public bust up at the station. Maybe he did that so it could get out.
He's doing a way better job of it than Victoria on The Young and the Restless.
Like, you know, like, I'm like, remember, he's still Helena's great grandchild.
Right. Before we move to The Young and the Restless, on a programming note, the role of Alexis Davis will be temporarily recast with Stephanie Erb. Nancy Legron is recovering from surgery, so we will have a fill-in there. But let's talk about The Young and the Restless. Jordi Villasuso is out. I've never been a big fan of his specific character on this show, so for me, him leaving is not a big deal, but I know that some people really enjoyed his character. Mike, what'd you think?
I love Jordi. I just didn't really, as far as the Rosales family, he was probably the least dynamic of them all. I'm not really upset about his departure because I feel like he can do so much better. They didn't really do his character any favors. There's a lot of gaps. There's like the Chelsea, Ray, Sharon, of course, and then, you know, Ray and Chance. So it's going to be interesting to see how they kind of fill the void. Although, to be honest, with the character, the way they've kind of written for him, it's not like that huge of a deal. But, I hope he lands somewhere else. Because
he needs him back as Dario.
I liked him as Dario, especially when Abby got ran over by that car. He was like, ah! He was like, I didn't run over for you. I loved it. But I'm going to be honest with the whole situation. New regime, you could tell Josh was not invested. You can always tell when a writer is not invested in a character. Hell, I mean, I'm glad he was able to release the statement instead of having Josh be a dumbass like he did with Lauren Lott and say, I just didn't have any story for her. You know, I will drag that until Josh is dragged off.
That still hurts my heart.
That just shows you you're a lazy ass writer, in my opinion. But I digress. Josh was not invested in him. I did think when they had him, when they had Ray and Chelsea becoming cool, I'm not going to lie, that perked me up a bit. I was like,
yeah, I liked it too.
I said, well, I didn't say that, but I said, this would be interesting.
I liked it better.
I said, you know, you talk about I like that too. I ain't say the one.
Well, but it was better.
Like, I thought it was interesting.
It pricked her mind. It pricked her interest, but it wasn't necessarily.
Yeah, talk about two. It wasn't the one. I thought it was interesting. I thought, okay, they have Ray out of this slump. Well, you know, I thought they were going to go there when Chelsea was all dreaming about him. I'm like, ooh, go ahead, Josh. And then when he, you know, released that, you know, Billboard award length statement, I was like, what the billboards? What is this? I was like, damn, Josh. Like, hopefully hopefully another show picks him up. He could go over to Bold and do something. Please.
Well, someone who was doing something was Diane and Jack. Jillian, what did you think of this as it played out this week? Because there was a lot of flashbacks and there was a lot of words said.
The flashbacks, you know, Luke, was to introduce people to who this person played as Diane Jenkins, who this person was as Diane. You saw the scheming bitch, and this one was the one who had, you know, who came back with Kyle and did all that shenanigans and stuff. So I'm here for it. I like the fact that Jack told her, bitch, when she was like, I orchestrated all this so you can get your granddaughter. And Jack was just like, do you know how crazy you are, girl? You bought a house and did all this for what? And then when he figured out, oh, this is for Kyle. No, girl. I didn't ask you to do this. And you're not getting your claws into our kid. And I like the fact, I'm like, are we going to see a crossover? They're still in LA. And you heard her say Deacon was the one that helped her out to slip out of town. I'm like, are we going to get Deacon Sharp crossover? Is Victor Newman going to pay him a visit? Because Deacon made his baby Nikki think that she bust Diane upside the head and killed her. So them Newmans are going to have a little chit chat with Deacon. Since Ridge don't have the balls to take down Deacon, you know Victor going to have him. Victor's probably going to have him shanked. But
the mention of Deacon, I doubt this would ever happen, but the mention of Deacon in a Genoa City context made me think about, I liked Deacon and Amber together. And so all of a sudden I was thinking Deacon and Chelsea might be fun. Josh, what did you think of it? Because watching the Diane and Jack scenes for me, like, I love the flashbacks. I remember this Diane as being the one that I first was introduced to on the show. But there for a bit, I was having a hard time remembering why she got beat in the head in the first place and had to have the cover up to leave. And so I was like, all these flashbacks are great for the new people, but I still don't remember the details of what happened when she left last time. What did you think of how that played out this week?
I don't really remember either, because they did not do Maura West any favors when she was on as Diane Jenkins. So I sort of blocked that out, to be honest with you. This version of Diane, I think I started watching regularly right after she left. So it was good for me to see all the flashbacks. I thought, and as I said last week, I thought Susan Walters just came right back in and she is just on point. I bought her. And when she came back at Jack and said, wait a minute, you ain't no angel either. Let's talk about all the coldness, all the horrible things that you did and you can change. And you say that I can't change. I thought, okay, I like that. I like that there's some fire there.
Yep.
And again, Allie, I liked her there. This is a new character, but I am buying her even though I don't know her. She just,
I
like
when
so good.
Like, you behind this. And she was like, I don't know what this is. Who's she? She was like, I don't know this white madness. Like, what are you talking about? Like, I like that Jack was like, Jack went into fierce, girl, you behind this. And she was like, what? I like that. Yeah, Diane, I was like, girl, you trying to throw dirt at Jack, but you need his help. I'm like, no, ma'am, that's not. I'm like, no.
It also explains why Michael Melor is now back on contract, because Diane, Kyle, and Jack is going to be a driving storyline for a while.
Clearly, she has not changed, because Jack pointed out that she went through all of this stuff to get him to find Allie. And he's like, does that sound like something a rational person would do? Exactly. I don't think so.
And she had that look like, he got me there. Like, because he did. I'm like, he did.
It was so nice to see a fire lit under Jack's ass for the first time in I don't know how long.
Jack is right there with Luke's Nicole. He is weeping Jack.
Yeah.
She's weeping Nicole, and I called somebody else weeping earlier too. It'll come
weeping
to
Willow.
No, I did not.
That was Josh.
No, what I said. I can't remember. Tori, hey girl. No, not Tori. Tony. Ooh, see, I'm forgetting the names.
Ooh.
Tony Ann will remind me, or somebody will remind me. I called somebody weeping earlier. But yeah, I like to see Jack get that fire in his belly. And then you also saw, for those who aren't familiar with Badass Jack, you saw in them flashbacks when Diane was there, you know, you were thinking about me. And he was like, no, bitch, Phyllis brought you up.
Speaking of Phyllis, she's
going to be living in the house. He's like, no, you're going to be in the pool.
You know what was most exciting for me? I don't give a crap about what Victor thinks about Diane. Mm-hmm. What was most exciting for me was we have a Diane who will finally so that the character of Phyllis will finally be activated. And instead of us watching this hotel matron, we're going to get some old school classic Phyllis back with this Diane, and that's what excites me most.
Yeah,
she's gonna get, I'm just saying it.
She's going to get a worthy rival.
You just had to goot all that. Like I was trying to say, for people who are not familiar with Jack, you saw those flashbacks were necessary. And you also saw the Phyllis that we are like, that Luke had to insert himself just now, 20 million dimes. You saw the Phyllis that we wanted when Phyllis was like, no, that bitch has your child. And she was just like, Nikki did, like, you saw the Phyllis that we love. I will give Josh that. He's giving, you know, it's kind of sad that you had to go through these lengths to give Phyllis some bite or whatever, like, whatever. But, you know, it's going to be some good shit there. It's going to be good shit there. But
yeah,
Mike, what do you think about Ashlyn and Victoria? See, I did it for you.
Thank you, Jillian.
Is that what we're going to
Well, no, I'm going to circle it back. But Mike, earlier Jillian talked about the fact that Spencer may be covering up and pretending so that he can get at Esme. Obviously, that's what Victoria's doing with Ashlyn now. How do you think that's playing out?
Until Victor fixed her pony wagon and was like, look.
I like the fact that Victoria is kind of thought through how she can handle it. And she has her own plan for Ashlyn. And I don't care that she's not sharing it with everybody else. But the fact that Victor comes in to the office and declares, while you're traipsing around Tuscany, Adam's going to take your place. And everybody, even including Adam, wasn't ready for that one. And Victoria's like, no, I can handle it. And Victor's like, it's not what I want. It's like, well, it's not your company. It's like, I know it's his company, but when he just asserts himself like that, it's kind of like, okay, Victoria, now what are you going to do? You know?
And like, because you know what it is? It's Victor reminding her, letting you sit in this seat. It's Victor letting her remind her, I'm letting you sit in this seat for now, but rest assured, little girl, if you do some shit that I don't like, I'm going to unseat you. But I feel as though Victor did this as a wake-up call.
Yeah.
Victor pits those kids against each other like I don't know what. And he knows the one thing Victoria will shake some sense into her. He could have let Abby be in charge of Victoria, but have been like, I'll be back from Tuscany.
Right.
She would not take it seriously. If it was Nick, she'll be like, Nick got my back, so I'll be back. But Adam, she's just like, wait a minute now. What you mean, Adam?
And you notice whenever Victor goes to Newman Media or to Newman Locke, the first thing he does is sit in the chair. Like, he sits in Adam's chair.
He's letting
And he sits in Victoria's chair.
It's a subtle reminder.
Absolutely. I love it.
To let them know, I'm letting y'all play CEO. Y'all make me mad. Or if I don't like some shit, I'm coming back. That's why I'm going to take your chair. Like, I liked it. I mean, I do like the fact that Victoria is just like, she's going to like screw Ashlyn over in more ways than one. Like, I just kind of wished they would have, instead of Victor just being like doing that, I would have liked for Victor to play it out. But at the same time, I get it, because Victor is just like, this man has his claws into you and our company. I'll be damned. Like, I'll fix it. But, you know, I feel as though Victoria is about to give him the big payback. And I hope it's good. I hope it's good. It's going
to
be.
And you were getting your thing where you said that it should be Billy, and Billy is the one that Nick went to. So I was actually thinking about you, because a couple of weeks ago or a month ago, you were like, this should be Billy's thing, because Billy is the one that was
putting his neck
on the line.
Billy said it to Victor at Crimson Lights. He was like, if you had just teamed up with me when I told you this, none of this would be happening. And he's just like, it's a family matter, and goes off. It's like, Billy was right. If you had just teamed up with him, y'all could have gotten Ashlyn's ass out of this. But now he got your company and he got your daughter. Like, I do wonder, though, if they're setting up a who killed Ashlyn type thing. I'm only asking that because he screwed over Victoria in more ways than one. He's gotten one over on Billy. He's gotten one over, 1, 2, 3, 4 over on Victor. He's threatened Nate's career. Adam don't seem to care for him. Nick wants to whoop his ass. He threw Michael in some Peru prison. I'm sorry. God, I don't want to hear Eric Braden say Peru anymore. No, there's no A in Peru, sir. But he had, you know, Lauren should not be happy about him either. Like, it's a long, it's a laundry of suspects, so to speak. So I'm like.
And what's interesting about it is it could be people like all the obvious ones, like the Newmans and Lauren and Michael, would be the ones that you would think would have the biggest motive. But then you think about the fact that Michael has Kevin and Chloe sitting there, and both of them can be nuts. So I'm like, well, Chloe or Kevin could even off him potentially. Josh, what did you think?
I think it's a mess, and I like mess. And Young and the Restless hadn't had a mess in a long time.
No.
And
soaps were good this week, no?
They really were. They really were. I enjoy the mess.
I think soaps were good this week, but I am feeling super weird about having gone from enjoying Maxie and Brooklyn and the fantastic story that they were in to now watching them in yoga. And I'm like,
Do you want them to be adversaries? Like, I'm confused.
No, I don't want them to be adversaries.
So what's the problem, Sugar? For me,
it's just a momentum type thing. Like, I expected it rather to have than having such a hard ending. I sort of expected Brooklyn and Maxie's story of them being frenemies to sort of transition into something new. And it just seems like they're sending him in opposite directions.
They're not. It's not, though. Like,
for me, that's how it comes across.
But I mean, don't understand.
I could be wrong, but for me,
that's the way it feels. They were frenemies, and they became friends through this. Like, Brooklyn has growth now. She's not a selfish bitch. And you see that Maxie used to be said selfish bitch. And, you know, Maxie always said it. She would tell Peter when his ass was on, you know, I'm the OG mean girl. Like, the mean girls have become, like, kind of domesticated. But you play with them, they got bite to them. Like, I don't have a problem with them being friends. Like, what did you want them to do exactly?
No, it's not about them being friends. I just didn't expect us from going from this high octane momentum storyline with Peter to the toils and troubles of deception. And
I mean, that's to be fair, the entire show got like that. We were high. Look, Luke, you say the disclaimer. You're not asking for Peter to come back. Say it, Luke. Say it.
We are not asking for Peter to come back. We do not want him to come back. He should never come back. We do not want Peter back.
Okay, good. Because, you know, we got to be specific. The Lord always tells us to be specific. Craig, Ted King is prime example. You got to be specific, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. But with all the drama surrounding Peter, the whole show, once Peter got murked and the dust settled, it kind of like whoosh. It went into like a mini lull, and it's starting to go back up again with Esme. Like, we're getting sort of like an umbrella.
But we don't want Esme to die.
Oh, no. Oh, I don't.
We have to be very specific. We don't want Esme to die.
I'm honest with you. I do not think the GH boys are going to kill her off. I don't. I don't know anything. I do think that they hit pay dirt with this young lady, Avery Pohl. Hope I'm pronouncing your last name right, darling. I feel like they hit the jackpot with her. I look to see her be around for many moons because you see Carly say, she reminds me of me. Ava's probably looking at her like, she just a brunette me, bitch. You know, well, like they all like,
this,
she ain't going nowhere.
This I might feel- be an over-exaggeration, but, and people may not agree with me, but I actually think that Esme is the best villain since Adam Newman was introduced. Like, she's the best new villain since Adam Newman for me.
Adam Newman? Which incarnation?
Well, maybe I need to be specific on that one, too. The Michael Muni Adam Newman. Since Michael Muni's Adam Newman, she's the best villain.
I have to think on that because, you know, after he came on, Mora West came on. So you trying to say she's better than Mora West's Ava?
I've never considered Ava to be a villain.
I mean,
she does villainous things, but I don't consider her to be a villain in the same way. She's just a bad girl, whereas Esme is just a straight up villain. Like Ryan is a straight up villain. Esme is a straight up villain. Ava was never a straight up villain for me.
Okay, fair enough. I'll have to put an asterisk on the side of Esme because I'm like, I'm pretty sure they had some people after Muni's.
Well, you like, just, she's better than Nell. She's better than...
Girl, paint drying is better than Nell.
There were some times when Nell was a very good villain. With her opposite of Carly, when she was dealing with the Carly stuff, Carly was good.
No, see, I'm going to call you out there, sir. That's because you don't like Carly, and we always wanted somebody to check Carly.
wait. I think you're getting me confused with Mike. Mike doesn't like Carly.
You like Carly?
I like Carly as, like, I don't like Mob Carly. I don't like Mob Carly, but as Carly, the daughter of Bobby, who interacts with Luke and is, like, as good messy of a... I don't like good girl Carly, but what... I like Carly Spencer when she embraces that, like...
She was never a Spencer. Like, her name was
I'm not
Vincent.
Saying that she's a Spencer.
You said Carly Spencer.
What I'm trying to say is there are many elements of Carly that remind me of Luke when he's misbehaving. And those elements, I also liked her with her rivalry versus Alexis.
You like Carly.
I do like her outside of the mob. When the mob, like under the Guza era where it was Sunny, Carly, and Jason and the mob did not like that era. But otherwise, I like Carly. On that note, we'd encourage you to comment on this episode at daytimeconfidential.com. Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/DCConfidential. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/DCConfidential. You can find me on Twitter at Luke_Kerr. Jillian is at Jillian Bo. Josh is at Dr. Joshua09. And Mike is at MPJ24. We thank you for listening. Until next time, so long.
Ciao, Bella.
Bye. I'll say it. I hate Carly.
Oh!
You and Mike both do.
Oh, this week I wanted to pitch her off a cliff.